Hello, this is Donna Stott with Your Coaching Matters. Introducing our speaker today for Monday Mindset, Mike Stott, who's going to be talking about the mindset of guaranteeing a sale on your listings. I think this is a fantastic topic, and I cannot wait to hear what Mike has to say. Welcome, Mike.
Hello, hello, everybody. Just thrilled to be here. It's a beautiful day in Atlanta. I was just driving around showing a buyer and back, and you know, spent a lot of time thinking about the mindset of a guaranteed sale. And, you know, there's a quote, bait and switch is either the first line of offense or a tactic. And, you know, here Your Coaching Matters, our standards of integrity have nothing to do with tactics or, you know, bait and switch techniques or anything else. And so I had a little bit of trepidation in even covering this subject. But then I started talking, and one of my clients is the Mark Spain team, and they do a lot of business, and they have 27 billboards around Atlanta that says, if we don't sell your home, we'll buy it. And that's basically where this came from. And many of you don't know, and we're going to ask you all to imagine, Donna and I met. We were both ERA brokers, the franchise ERA brokers. And we, my company was an ERA broker from about 1980 to about 1992 or 93. And ERA had what they called the guaranteed sales program. If we don't sell your home, we'll buy it. It was a very, very successful program. And in Hawaii, and I won't speak for Donna's numbers, but I'll ask her for her input from Orlando. And I'm always grateful to ERA because Donna and I met at a top 50 brokers meeting in Asheville, North Carolina, a little over 25 years ago. And so without ERA, I wouldn't be with the love of my life. So thank you, ERA. But here we are. If we don't sell your home, we'll buy it. And in Hawaii, in the peak years, we had 14 ERA offices. And the 14 ERA offices were, together, we were the largest sales force in the state of Hawaii. We sold many, 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 many thousands of homes each year. A lot of brilliant brokers involved, people I respected that went on to run other big organizations and do great things in real estate. And in the entire 12 years or 13 years I was with ERA in Hawaii, not a single home was ever actually purchased through the, if we don't buy your home, we'll sell it. Donna, do you know of any that were ever purchased in the Orlando
area?
Yeah,
I actually knew of a couple, but very, very few. And when you talk to the department, I think they said that was like 3 a year nationwide. So I would love to hear the quote again that you started with. Bait and
okay,
switch
the quote is bait and switch is either the first line of offense or a tactic. And I wanted to start with that quote because many agents, when they look at the guaranteed sales program, their monkey mind goes crazy. When I say you might want to consider offering a guaranteed sales program, that activates monkey mind. How does it work? I can't do it. It costs too much. There's too much risk. And I wanted to go through in today's call some of the truths behind the guaranteed sales program and why seven of the top 20 real estate teams as identified by Inman offer a guaranteed sales program.
Wow.
Think about that, guys. 35% of the top teams offer a guaranteed sales program. Okay, so I wanted to go through what are some of the rules. Okay, ERA bought very, very few homes, but they got thousands of listings.
Sorry about that. Let me go on and mute whoever that is.
Yeah, thank you, hon. They got thousands of calls and thousands of listings every year because they offered a guaranteed sales program. So all those of us with monkey mind going on right now, look at what the purpose is. It's not a bait and switch. If you offer this with integrity and you're clear on what the qualifications are, then and you come from a spirit of contribution, this may be a program that earns you business.
Yeah, I will tell you that I took listings in the first several years of my career because of the ERA, if we don't sell it, we'll buy it program. That was the reason people called our office.
Right. And so what it is it's a point of differentiation, and it makes you different than the other agents out there. Okay, and I'm going to end with the disclaimer, and I'm going to start with the disclaimer. Before you take any action, make sure you check with your broker, or if you are the broker, with your real estate commission, that anything you do is legal within your state. So Donna and I were thinking when she assigned me this topic today, in today's world, what would a guarantee sales program look like? And we put together a bunch of ideas, okay? And I probably visited 80 or 90 different websites and read up on it and what were people doing today. And they basically are saying, if I don't sell your house, I'll buy it. Or buy this house and I'll buy yours. Or if I don't sell your home in 60, 90, or 120 days, I'll buy it, I'll reduce my commission at closing, I'll cancel the listing, I'll give you $500 a week off until it does sell. And they do a lot of those, not gimmicks, but they have different points of differentiation. So the first thing to know is that the guaranteed sales program is not a uniform program across the country or from agent to agent. Some agents will, you know, do a guaranteed sales program if they're purchasing a listing of theirs. Other agents will guarantee a sale, or they'll buy the house, and we'll talk about that. That's the most common. Some of the agents will say, if I don't sell your house in 60 days, I'll reduce my commission, or I'll sell your house for free, or I'll reduce my commission $500 a week until it does. Okay? So in order to be able to offer that, we have to be very clear on what the rules are or what the qualifications are. And there's nothing slimy or unethical about it, so long as you're very clear about what the rules are. So what are the rules? What are the rules that you might have in a guaranteed sales program? And coincidentally, I came up with 10 rules. So in all the research, here's the rules. And by the way, if you're considering this, feel free to call me or talk with your coach, either Donna or Stephanie or myself, and we can go through these in more detail. Okay? And I have to say, nobody else knew what I came up with. So if you have a call with Donna Stott or Donna Fleetwood or Stephanie today, they might not, they don't have my notes yet. So give them a day or two for the answer.
They will.
Okay. Okay. So the price, they must price it correctly for the condition, the location, the features of the house, the positive and the negatives. So how do we determine the right price? We do a detailed CMA. I believe that most of our agents on this call do as good, if not a better report than what an appraiser would do. And if you use our YCM spreadsheet, Donna, if you could attach that to the notes, you're going to come up with a suggested list price, and you're going to want to price the house initially. It's going to be a certain percentage below your recommended price. If you get a conventional appraisal, many of the top agents around the country that offer this will say that the home has to start out at 90 or 95% of the appraised value. So that's rule number one, is we start off listing the house at below what the value is. Now, we all know that in most of our markets, if we listed a house at 95% of its appraised value, how quickly would it sell? Everybody, would it sell in less than a week? Say yes.
My market, it would.
Anybody else there? And maybe it's just Donna and I on the call.
No, we have a couple of people.
Okay.
Condition. How about your markets, guys? How about you, Sri, Olga, Christine, if it was at 95% of fair market value? Kimberly, John, Bev?
Yeah. Ours would. Orlando.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that
most markets,
alone,
if it was 95% of an appraised value that you could show in appraisal, you could almost guarantee a sale, couldn't you?
And if you had a seller that was willing to price it below the appraised value or below your value, do you think they're a motivated seller?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Okay. Second rule would be condition. The home must be in as good a condition as you can get for the price, or the price needs to be adjusted drastically to account for the condition. Okay? If it's a vacant home, it needs to be clean, and you must have regular scheduled cleaning inside and outside. The home needs to have curb appeal, and the front door needs to be spotless. Okay? Many of you, you know this, and in fact, I've learned it from some of you, is that you want to have the front door and that entry area spotless, no cobwebs, freshly painted, neat, flowers out, all that sort of good stuff, because while the realtor's fumbling with the lockbox, what are the buyers doing?
Looking at the front door.
Looking around.
They're inspecting the front door, and they oftentimes get that first impression as they walk up to the house and they see the front door. You might want to have fresh paint. You might have them declutter or pack up. You might want to have it staged. And you might want to have a sample sheet of the dollars off the 95% of the assessed value for the items that are not done but are needed. So, for example, if the people can't afford to have the roof done and you estimate that's going to be $8,000 and this is a $300,000 house, so you list it at $285,000, you might say it's another $10,000 for the roof. It's another $3,000 for the carpet. Okay, so you can subtract from your initial. So rule number two was condition. Rule number three was accessibility. The owner has to allow a sign and a lockbox. They have to allow short notice showings. And there need to be no pet and no tenant issues. Obviously, if you have a property that has a tenant on a 9-month lease, it's real hard to guarantee a sale in 30 or 60 days because there's not many buyers that are going to buy the house that are going to let the tenant stay in. So on the accessibility issues, again, and you're going to be getting the notes, they've got to allow a lockbox, a sign, and short notice showings, and there's no pet issues and no tenant issues. Okay, I'm closing on Friday with a buyer. The wife would not go in the house if there was a dog of any kind, not in a cage. She is so afraid of dogs, it didn't matter if it was a 2-pound teacup or a 90-pound Rottweiler, she would not go in the house unless the dog was in a cage. And even when it was in the cage, she would not go into that room. Okay, so no pet issues. It has to show well. Rule number four. It has to show well, both online and during showings. So you have to have a showing protocol. Here's an idea for a great checklist for all of your listings. Are the lights on? Are the fans on or off? Are the blinds open? Is there music playing? Are the candles lit? If it's cold in the winter, is the fireplace on? Are there no odors? You know, no pet odors. No kimchi odors, just smells in the house. Are the doors open and unlocked? Okay, nothing drives me battier. You know, I unlock the front door, leave the key in the deadbolt so I don't lose it, and then the back doors are locked, and you have to go back to the front door and all that sort of stuff. Are the doors open? Is it sparkling clean? You know, you want to make sure it shows well. Number five, there will be scheduled automatic price reductions weekly or twice a week after 14 days with no accepted contract. Okay, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in rule number nine, but there's scheduled automatic price reductions. Okay, with the old ERA plan, just to explain how the seller security plan or the guaranteed sales program worked,
called the Seller Security Program, SSP.
Right. And so you listed it at 90%. You started off at 90%, and after 45 days, you dropped it another 5%, and after another 45 days, it dropped another 5%. And then ERA would buy the house at 80%, less the commissions, less any maintenance items that were needed on the house. So they generally paid 70 to 73% of the assessed value for the home. And if you're going to buy another property, you had to use an ERA agent on the other side, and that ERA agent, you know, there was no referral fee for you as the listing agent. Okay, so is buying a house at 73% a bait and switch? Only if you presented it that way. Every year I was amazed there were a number of people that would take 73% of the value of their house to have that guaranteed sale. Donna, do you have any input on that?
No. What it was is when I went on these appointments, people would not be thrilled with the rules of the program. However, and I don't know if you mentioned, I may have been distracted for a minute, but there were actually multiple appraisals done on the property mm-hmm. with the seller's protection plan.
Yes, there were two appraisals, and if they were within 5%, they averaged the two of them. If they weren't, there was a third appraisal done.
Correct. Yeah, so 2 to 3 appraisals actually got done on the property as well. But what it is when you explained it and you explained that somebody else was going to be taking on the problem of selling their house that they were worried about not being able to get done, and when you explained it in the right way, they really did understand. And, you know, 99.9% of them decided not to do the program. 99.99% probably percent of people decided not to do the program, but instead would agree to do 3 or 4 or 5 of the things in the program, and we'd inevitably still get it sold.
So, right? Point number 6, the home was pre-inspected by a professional home warranty. Now, ERA had their own home warranty program, but
right.
You could use anyone if you're designing your own system, American Home Shield or 210 or Old Republic or Sears or whatever you wanted to do. They got the home pre-inspected, and they offered a home warranty. Why? Because it makes a buyer more comfortable with making an offer on the house.
And it also offered ERA, who was going to be the buyer, a limited amount of money out of pocket for repairs.
Right.
So there was a home inspection and a home warranty. So those are really two things. Yeah.
Yep. Point number 7, it was not available for vacant land or luxury listings. And a luxury listing was defined as 3 times the median sales price.
Yeah.
Okay, so vacant land, harder to sell. Luxury listings, harder to sell. You can make your own decision. But in about 80% of the research I did last week, the sales program excluded vacant land or luxury listings. In Georgia, I would also exclude townhouses. We have a weird thing in Georgia, is a lot of the townhouses, about 40% of the townhouses and condominiums, have rules that say you cannot rent the property out, ever. It's for only for owner-occupants. And I would exclude those also. So think about it. If you're clear on your rules and you have a logical reason for them, you can exclude. Okay? Number 8, there was a full 6% commission paid. No discounted commissions.
Yeah, so eliminate the 6% there, because there are some in my area it was a full 7.5%
right,
commission.
And in some areas
so
today
it's
might
whatever
be a full 5%.
The average was in the area. So I moved from Florida, where at the time, Todd, the average commission when I started in 1986 was 7.5%. Okay, and I moved to Hawaii, who in the same year the average commission was 6%. So you have to look at what's normal for your area, and what ERA did was they said, what's normal for their area, which routinely, by the way, when average commission was 7.5%, I very often got an 8% commission because it was really just a little bit more. We could offer 4% to the selling office that way. Of course, we got to keep 4%. But it really made us stand out from the 3.75 to the 3.5 because a lot of people, even at 7.5%, would offer 3.5% to the selling office and keep 3% or whatever, 4%.
It was either Connie or Teresa at the last summit that taught us, you know, when presenting commission, now's your chance to show the agents out there how serious you are about getting your home sold.
I think that was Michelle Camaione's.
Might have been Michelle. It was somebody, one of those brilliant women that I get to work with at the summit. You said, you know, hey, and you look at this market, normal market, 3% is the cooperating broker average commission. Some are 2.5%. What do you think happens to them? Well, they don't get shown as much. Of course not. Well, what do you think would happen if you put 3.5% or 4% there? This is your opportunity to show those other agents out there how serious you are about selling.
Yep.
Okay. Number 9 is a repeat of the automatic price reductions, but you might want to consider it rather than time, it might be after X number of showings. Okay, right now our average time on market below 400,000 in most of the areas of where we work is 21 days. So I would definitely say if the home hadn't sold in 14 days, that it's time to do the price reduction. Lyndon Moe, M-O-E, big, big, big team, big agent. His rules are he lists at 95% of his value. He lowers to 85% and then 75%. So at 22 days, he lowers it to 85%. At 45 days, he lowers it to 75%, and then he'll buy it at 60 days with the commission and repairs. He generally pays 70% of his value. The reason why is it makes the phones ring. And point number 10, point number 9, there was another agent, and then starts at a fair price and lowers the commission to 2% after 30 days. And 1% after 60 days, but they must get an appraisal from their appraiser and price it at 5% below the appraisal. So, you know, there's different ways to
format your
program.
So let me just give a little piece in this section about how many of you guys have an investor that would buy any listing that you told them they could get at 70% of market value?
Sure.
All day long.
Okay, so notice that you don't have to be the person buying it if you've got someone who will. In the ERA program, it wasn't the agent buying it, right? It was the company. So notice that if you've got any fear around, oh, my gosh, what if I have to buy a house? How am I going to do that? If you've got investors that are willing to put their money where their mouth is and will buy any properties that fit into this category, boy, do you have a guaranteed sales program.
Excuse me, could you just share why someone would do that?
Why would the
monkey mind's going crazy. Like,
great.
Why would a seller do this?
Let me get to point 10, and then we'll answer that question. Because,
yeah, because this is a good question, and there are reasons. Go ahead.
Great. And so the last point is any reasonable offer must be accepted. So let's say you have it listed for 95%, and your program is it lowers to 90% after 30 days. And at 27 days, you get an offer from 92% or 93% of the asking price. Well, that would be deemed a reasonable offer. The seller can't then sit down and say, well, if I wait for 3 days, then you're not going to charge me any commission or you're going to, you know, whatever it is if you do that. So you want to make sure that you have some sort of clause in there that reasonable offers must be accepted. Okay?
Yeah, and you might want to have an agreed upon minimum net, right? As part of your guaranteed sales program. But think about how many people are taking advantage of a program like this because they've taken the time to put the details together.
Yeah. Okay, so who had the question, honey? Who was it that asked
that
the question?
That was Roberta, and it's a valid question. Why would Roberta. Any seller agree to this?
Roberta, since we left ERA, I've never offered this program. Why? Because I sort of thought it was a gimmick or a bait and switch, and I didn't understand at the time that the clarity of your rules is what makes this program work. And the reason why people do it is it differentiates yourself from other agents out there. If you're the agent that can offer a guaranteed sale, if I don't sell your house, I'll buy it, that gives the seller a reason to call you. And that's the only reason to do it. You don't want to buy a lot of houses. We know that. In Hawaii, we never completed one. I think we had two applications, mm-hmm. but in both cases, they sold
property
the homes
sold.
Before ERA was going to step in and buy them.
Yep.
And we know this to be true. And so what I want you to think is, what if you put out there that Roberta, the doctor of real estate, out there, if we don't sell your house, we'll buy it, cause the phone to ring. And you go on an appointment, and you explain it, you know, just up front. These are the rules. Obviously, you know, my job is to talk to people and about selling their house, and this makes the phone ring. Realize that according to the National Association of Realtors, year in and year out, something like 67 or 70% of all the clients out there interview one agent and one agent only when they decide to sell their house. So the purpose of this program would be to get you in front of people thinking about selling their house. Okay. Now, my sneaky reason, or not so sneaky reason, is what if you did this program without any of the guarantees, but you went on any of your listings and you had it priced well based upon your value, and it was in good condition, and it was accessible for showings, and you had good photos, and the lights were on, and short notice was okay, and that we had automatic price reductions, and you had a home warranty, and it was pre-inspected, and you had a full commission, and you had automatic price reductions if it didn't sell, and then you had a seller condition to accept a reasonable offer. How many of you think you might be able to sell some of those listings that you've had sitting on your books for a while? Everybody
so let me answer the question I think Roberta asked, which is, why would any seller want to do this? Well, I'm going to give you an example. One of our agents, when I first started working in the business, she was a competitor of mine. We started at the same time. Every listing appointment she went on, she offered to buy the property for about 60 to 70% of market value. And guess how many she bought a year?
None.
Several.
Oh, I'd like
she
those.
Bought between 2 and 3 homes a year, year after year after year after year. All kinds of disclosures that all parties understood market value was probably about blank, but that they were going to sell it to the agent direct because they didn't want to bother with showings. They didn't want to have any time. They didn't want to worry about repairs. She always bought it as is, you know. And so she bought several a year, and over a period of years, she had about 20 rental properties that she had purchased between 60 and 70% of market value. Why would someone do this? There are people, guess who, these listings that are done with We Buy Ugly Houses, they buy at 50 to 60% of market value. And there are people who sell their houses to that franchise all the time because they're in trouble, because they're in a time frame. It's the difference between selling. We are in a retail. We sell houses retail. They buy houses wholesale and resell them retail. There are people who will agree to this that are in need, and those are the same people who call on an ad that says, if we don't sell your house, we'll buy it, or something similar. I absolutely guarantee a sale. Limitations apply. okay, we're not getting those leads because they're calling the other people because we're not offering it.
Right. And then at the notes that Donna's going to send you, there's a link to an Inman article that gives you names and some more details. If you're interested in this, take a look at that. Talk about it with your coach. And this is one of those when we set the arena, guys, am I willing to systematically dismantle my structure of knowing? One of the other purposes is what did we know about the Guarantee Sales Program before this call? And what have we learned while we looked at it?
Right.
With it. And, you know, that's what gets rid of the monkey mind. And then you can be clear on what your authentic action should be with this. And it may be set this program up for yourself, or it may be I'm not interested. Either is
so
okay with us.
Talk to your coach more. We've got another call right now, so I'm going to cut Mike off and end the recording. And if those of you have called in for the other call, hang up and redial.
Bye-bye,
thank
guys.
You, Mike. Wonderful call. Great job.